Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the December 17, 2017 session, focusing on Psalm 126, Waiting with Joy. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Bert Montgomery.
We are going to be talking about the third Sunday of Advent today. Can you believe it?
Well, you know.
I know, it's crazy. Do you have your Christmas shopping all done?
You're hysterical. Is it Christmas Eve? Yeah.
You're so funny. Have I started?
No. That takes all the fun out of it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Nikki is easy to shop for. I think you just get a board game from Walmart.
Pretty much.
That's her
favorite. I love board games.
We are in the Psalms again. And for this Psalm, Bert, could you help us get started?
Sure. This week, like last week, we're in the season of Advent, but not with the usual Advent texts from Isaiah, from the Gospels. Rather, once again, we are in the Psalms. Now, some of our listeners might be old enough to remember a great old hymn that seems to have faded out of our hymnals. It's a hymn I remember hearing and trying to sing at my grandparents' churches when I was a little kid. Bringing in the sheaves, we will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Now, I was born and raised in and around New Orleans and had never lived on a farm one day of my life, and I had no idea what a sheave was or why I should rejoice about bringing one or more in. But I enjoyed singing it. And I enjoyed the joyful sound of the voices of people I love dearly, voices of people I wish I could hear singing again. In one of the first churches where I served as part of the ministerial staff up in Kentucky, a wonderful, spirited, elderly woman said that when she was a little girl in their small, rural, farming church, she thought they were singing Bringing in the Sheets because they hung their sheets out on the line to dry and so they'd smell fresh and then they'd bring them in. Mm-hmm. Now, this hymn dates back to the 1800s, and it is filled with agrarian imagery of sowing and of reaping. It's a psalm and a hymn. It's a hymn that goes with hard times and the hope of faith. Hard times and the hope of faith, which is a theme that is at the heart of Psalm 126. Psalm 126 is a psalm of lament. It's one of the psalms of complaint. These are psalms which express the people's sufferings, express their despair, in which people beg God for help. These are psalms in which people openly grieve their situation, they admit their feelings of abandonment, and they remind themselves that God has acted to do something for them in the past, and maybe No. God will act for them again in the future. I wonder if any of our listeners, maybe members of our congregations, right now, are experiencing times of sorrow, feeling hopeless, drowning in despair, maybe personal struggles or difficulties, maybe feeling overwhelmed by everything that's happening in our world and in our country. And it's a, when you get in times like this, it's almost as if the good times of the past seem to be fading away, and almost as if they never really existed at all, like it was all a dream. Here's Psalm 126 from the Message Translation. It seemed like a dream. It was too good to be true when God returned Zion's exiles. We laughed and we sang. We couldn't believe our good fortune. God was wonderful to us. We are one happy people. And now, God, do it again. Do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives so those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing. Will come home with armloads of blessing. In the King James Version, that last verse is, says that he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, how many of us need permission to beg God for something, to plead with God? How many of us need to be given permission? The psalm is giving us permission to tell God, do it again, God, do it again. Advent is a time of hope. Advent is a time of expectation. Advent is a time of anticipation. And we have great hymns for Advent. Arise, your light is come. O come, Emmanuel. Maybe having Psalm 126 as an Advent scripture text means we can add this old agrarian hymn back to our hymnals, but put it under the Advent section this time. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze, by and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, going forth with weeping, sowing for the master. Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. He will bid us welcome, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. It's an Advent hymn. It's an Advent message.
Well, Bert, you've done it again.
Just quoted a hymn.
Maybe it's just my own ignorance, but I've never seen that as an Advent hymn, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's my Southern Baptist upbringing, but I always associated that with mission. And maybe it is, but rather than our work in this world, spreading the gospel or whatever else, I think it's more about the promise of God. I hope I understood exactly what you were saying, but I think about that other great Advent text. I think it's from Philippians, pray without ceasing, rejoice in all circumstances, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That even despite the difficult times of our world where our hearts are heavy and our eyes are red with tears, we can still have joy. Because it's not necessarily situational specific. That joy is deep in the simple yet profound promise that we are God's children. And like we said last week, God will never abandon us.
This text reminds me, Bert, especially with your comments there, of how many people, I mean, all year long, but certainly in this season, are sowing in tears. They're suffering, dealing with illness or loss or pain. And, you know, it's not like the hospitals stop having people in them this time of year. Or that people with terminal cancer, you know, suddenly don't have that this time of year. The desire to find joy is real. One of my favorite movies at this time of year is The Christmas Carol. And I'm always struck by the poor family, Tim's family. And of course, his father works for Scrooge. But there's that scene in the movie where they are having their Christmas meal. And in spite of having very little, and Tim is sick. In spite of the suffering, in spite of the fear, they find joy in one another. They sing, they dance, they enjoy, they find joy in their presence together. And I don't know, maybe that's part of what we're hearing in this, is that, you know, life sometimes really is ugly, and yet we can take joy in God's presence with us.
You know, the Thomas Merton often talked about the Psalms and said, for us to understand the Psalms, we must experience the sentiments expressed in the Psalms. The heart, the crying out has to be crying out from our own hearts. We have to sing them to God and make them mean something for us. We move in to the Psalms, or rather we move the Psalms into our house of our own soul, and we begin to see the Psalms as our own experiences with their words. And this psalm, you know, David, what you were just saying about this time of the year, I guess around 15 years ago, I went through a period of serious depression and wrestling with calling and where we were, where my family was. At a certain point, things weren't going as planned. Things were not falling into place like you think. You know, when you're young and ideal and you feel the calling of God, you just know you're going to go out in faith. And when you're serving God and doing church work, God's going to take care of everything and everything's going to fall into place. Well, things weren't falling into place. And I did a journal entry, again, this is 15 years ago or so. And I remember, and I'm going back and I'm reading from it. And I wrote, praying and crying, talking to myself, talking to God. Earlier that day, I had just opened up the Message, the Bible, the Message translation of the Bible, just opened up to Psalm 126. And then I note, did I really just randomly turn to it? Or was I led to it? And then I write the Psalm that I read from the Message here, and that, and do it again, God. And then I began to reread it and reread it. And then the more I reread it, the more I began saying it, but it became my psalm. God, it was like a dream way back when, the way you led us from one place and took us to another place, and it was great. It was too good to be true. It was like a dream when you took us to this place, and when I got back into seminary after a 15 or 10-year absence or something like this, we did indeed laugh and sing, for you were indeed wonderful to us. Do it again, God. Do it again. Our lives are drought-stricken and need rains. We have planted while in despair. We have such heavy hearts. Let us laugh again with blessings too many to carry. Do it again, God. Do it again. And then I note that I would have been doing this until the phone rang and called me out of it, and it had been about 45 minutes. And I think that's what Merton's talking about, making the Psalms our Psalms. The Psalms were collective verses for people, for a community, and for individuals. And at this time of Advent, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who can relate to the psalm. But if they begin reading the psalm and praying the psalm, crying the psalm, you know, do it again, takes real meaning. O come, Emmanuel, becomes very real. In a very real way. I'm still not bringing in sheaves, but but I have come back rejoicing.
Hearing you talk, Bert, reminds me of the professor. I think he's retired now, so Professor Emeritus. I think he's been bestowed that honor at Princeton, Albert Rabiteau. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's actually from the coastal Mississippi, but retired from as a religion professor at Princeton. And he's got this beautiful little book. I mean, you could read it in an hour, called A Sorrowful Joy. And he's a African-American, raised in the in coastal Mississippi. And his father's murdered before he's born. He has these series of crises in his life, even after achieving some fame and fortune as a professor on the lecture circuit. He talks about being reconverted after his conversion, and calls on God to become real in his life again. And he juxtaposes these two seemingly contrasting emotions, sorrow and joy, but really shows how in the light of God's love, they are held together. I'm going to have to pull that off my bookshelf and read it again, because I think that's what, without immediately sort of jumping to the good news at the end of the story, I feel like part of my calling as a pastor, particularly during Advent, is not to take away everyone's sorrow. I mean, I can't do that anyway, but to help folks see the joy that can be had as well in the midst of life's sorrowful times. The ability, and maybe even the importance, vitalness of holding those two emotions together.
I'll never forget the first time I found myself laughing at a funeral home.
Do tell.
I was a teenager. And there was a girl at our high school who had a disorder, and in my teenageness, I can't even tell you what it was, but it created health problems for her, and eventually she succumbed to those, and she died at far too early of an age. And she was a cheerleader, and I was a cheerleader at one point in my lifetime, and we were on the squad together. And so all of us teenage girls in the midst of puberty and all the emotions that come with that were sitting around telling stories about Allison. And somebody told a story that made all of us laugh. And it felt really good to laugh with friends as we remembered our friend. And, you know, we were young and fragile, and none of us had ever really encountered loss and death the way that we had by losing a friend that was our own age. And I remember that so clearly, because being able to laugh with one another as we remembered a funny story about our friend who wasn't with us anymore was one of the most real things we did that night. And I think that might be getting to what we're talking about here, being able to find joy even in the midst of sorrow or despair or sadness. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the sorrow is never the last word. It is never the last thing. It is never the only thing. That joy can be found even in the midst of that. I will never forget that. I couldn't tell you much about that night, but I remember sitting with my friends and telling stories about Allison. And we cried and we laughed and we hugged. And we held each other, and we got each other through it one way or another. But I remember the laughter. It stuck with me.
The Christmas season is often almost superficial. Everything's happy. Everything's lit. Everything, all the pretty lights and the pretty trees and all the singing and the Christmas parties and the buying presents and the time off from work, and everybody gets excited and all this stuff. There's this Christmas, you know, that it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. The music that goes on 24 hours a day for weeks on end. Great, great Christmas songs. But it's all happy and joyous. And as David pointed out earlier, this time of the year can be extremely hard on individuals dealing with loss or dealing with all kinds of sorrow or despair or depression. You know, there were studies, I don't know if it's still, but the suicide rates go up this time of the year. That's the Christmas season, but Advent isn't superficial. Advent isn't all about the lights and the gifts and the let's all be happy and sing great songs. Advent is deeply, deeply rooted in the darkness of life as well as the light. In fact, part of Advent is preparing your rise, shine, your light has come. Well, first there's darkness. Advent is about preparing ourselves in the real emotions, the real circumstances, the real tragedies, and the real joys of simple joys of friendship, not produced, manufactured joys, but the joys of friendship and loss and the memories that were. Advent is talking about a child that comes in a manger, as Frederick Buechner says, with a skull we could crush with our bare hands. That's the real life stuff. And that's what the psalm is about. That's what Advent is about. And this is why it's so important, I think. In the midst of all the Christmas stuff, that we take time and really get into Advent. And it is dirty, and it is uncomfortable, and it is sad and sorrow. And it is in this dark and this sadness and this sorrow that Christ comes, and that joy is born in the midst of all of that.
Amen to that.
Amen. Well, thank you all again for sharing around this Advent psalm. I'll see you next time.
Thanks.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.